Funding for The Front Row on Texas Tech Public Radio comes from the Helen Jones Foundation and from Citibank. Citibank's award-winning app delivers features that are redefining mobile banking, like the ability to turn your debit card off if it's ever lost or stolen, and the ability to raise ATM and spending limits. More information is at citibankonline.com. Citibank, member FDIC. Support also comes from Texas Tech's J.T. and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts. Art, music, theater, and dance. Dean Noel Zoller invites you to enjoy some of the 800 performances and exhibits produced each year by talented students, faculty, and visiting artists. See the stars of tomorrow on the stage today. Texas Tech's J.T. and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts. Explore, dream, discover. And from Lubbock's Cultural District. Always creative, never flat. More information is available at lubbockculturaldistrict.org. The Texas Tech School of Music is hosting a concert of Baroque music this Friday evening at 6 p.m. in Hemley Recital Hall. To find out more, I traveled to the School of Music and interviewed some of the participants to the accompaniment of the Goin Band, which was rehearsing just outside the window. On this edition of The Front Row, we're in the cello studio of Jeffrey Lestraps, who is the professor of cello at the Texas Tech University School of Music. Mr. Lestraps, welcome to the show. Thanks for allowing us to invade your space as we talk about this concert.
I'm always proud to have people in my studio. It's where I live. It's my home away from home. So it's a very nice, cozy place with lots of music.
Right. Well, thanks for allowing us in. We have two other guests with us, Susanna Self, who is adjunct professor of flute. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Right. And Christopher Cook, who is with us. Christopher, tell us a little bit about you. You're a guest artist coming in to play a concert.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking the time to do this interview. We really appreciate it. Yes, I'm the music director of the Springfield Regional Opera in Springfield, Missouri, and I'm also the music director of the Civic Orchestra there, and I teach at Drury University. So mainly I'm a podium dweller, but for the last 5 or 6 years, I've focused on early music performance, and my instrument of specialty is recorder, and I try to do 3 or 4 events every year.
Right. Where did you become acquainted with the recorder?
I've actually played the recorder for a very long time, but not particularly well. And like Susanna, I was a flutist, and we actually were in the same class at music school a few years ago. But about 17 years ago, I had an accident that ended my flute playing days. And fortunately for me, I was on the conducting path. But again, about 5 or 6 years ago, I decided I wanted to return to playing and used the recorder as the vehicle and really began working and doing concerts around the country. And here I am today.
Right. Did you like Baroque music, early music? Was that part of what attracted you to the recorder?
Yes. And I've always been a very mediocre jazz musician. But the great thing about early music, early Baroque, well, actually all Baroque music, but especially early Baroque music and then late Renaissance music, is improvisation is expected. It goes significantly beyond ornamentation. And the variability of making music in that context and the variability of all the, I like to call them dinosaur instruments. There are all these wonderful instruments that we don't use anymore, things like lutes and shams and sackbuts and theorbos and recorders. And like the dinosaurs, on the one hand, they're extinct, but on the other hand, they're fascinating. And they have possibilities and colors and potentials that modern instruments don't. And so since I spend 95% of my life conducting modern instruments, it's wonderful to go back in time a little bit.
Right. Well, we're excited to hear this concert. We're really happy that you're here in Lubbock.
Oh, well, so thank you so much.
Susanna, tell us a little more specifically about the concert. This is a concert of Baroque music. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. We're going to be starting with the Quantz Trio Sonata. We'll go on to a Bach cello suite for solo cello. And then we will end with the Telemann Concerto for recorder and flute. And then we have a short surprise at the very end. But the pieces that we're doing are very rarely heard because The Quants Trio Sonata and the Telemann Concerto are two of the only pieces written for recorder and flute as solo instruments.
Right. Now, this is an interesting time because those instruments, I would think, only coexisted for a short time. Is that right? One was a predecessor to the other, kind of?
I believe the traverso and the recorder were in existence for some time, but the traverso sort of took over, and once Theobald Baim, who was the engineer, so to speak, of the key work that we play on, even on modern flutes now, once traverso started adding keys and became more complicated, composers seemed to prefer to write for the transverse flute because you could play in more keys and do more facile technical work on them.
Right.
So I think it might have actually made the recorder a little more extinct.
Well, is it fun to play music with both a traverse flute and a recorder? Is it fun to play that music?
I am really looking forward to playing this. I've actually never gotten to play duos with recorder before, and it's just such a joy to not only get to play something new, but also play with a good friend of mine from a long time ago. So, yeah, we're really looking forward to doing this.
Right, great. Professor Lestraps, you are going to play one of the Bach suites.
I am.
For cello. Which one will you play?
I'm going to play the most famous one there is, the G major, number one. It's the first one he wrote, probably about 1718, so about 300 years ago. And it's funny that they're playing music for recorder and flute. My cello is a year older than Bach. It's from 1684. And it's very much a modern instrument. I mean, it's set up differently with different strings and tailpiece and various parts that are very modern. But it looked about the same as it does now when it was made in 1684. So there was not a super dramatic change from when Bach wrote this to now, this first suite especially. So it's kind of interesting. We have the very old, the also very old, and the very modern, and the so it's actually a fascinating concert. I think the Bach suite fits in perfectly,
right.
And it's very easy to listen to. It's some of the most beautiful, soothing music written.
A lot of people will recognize the first movement.
Yes.
Yeah.
The
very arpeggiated, beautiful, yes. Beautiful
yeah.
Opening. Yeah.
It's in lots of movies and commercials.
Right. And tell us a little bit about the individual movements. Do they have French titles?
They do.
They do, right. Yeah.
This is, there's a prelude and then five dance movements. Some fast, some slow. French dance movements.
Right.
It's funny that they were, you know, like the Elemon, for instance, is a French version of a German dance. So Bach took the French version, moved it back to Germany, wrote based on a French impression of a German dance. It's very, very convoluted that way.
Right.
Across the mountains.
Yeah.
And so it'll be nice for people to hear that. And then all of this music, Telemann was writing at the same time, and all this music really set the foundation for us to do everything we do now instrumentally and compositionally. Even our pop music is based more on this style of music than would be our contemporary Western European music that we hear now. So, so it'll be fun. The other thing I love about this concert, I love the time. And I love the length of the concert. This is what we call in big cities, we'd call this a happy hour concert, 6 o'clock, and it's the easiest music in the world to listen to and enjoy. And you can get as deep or stay as outside of the music as you want. Some of it is breathtakingly, hauntingly beautiful. Other movements might sound a little silly and fun, and it's got everything in a small package. It's not a 3-hour concert. It's a happy hour concert.
Friday afternoon, 6 o'clock, is that right?
Yeah. 6 o'clock in Himley.
You're playing one of the Bach suites for cello, but you and I were talking a little bit before we all met together. this is the start of a journey for you with the Bach Suites.
It is. I came out with my own edition last year and been working on it for years and years and years. It's been published. It's sold all over the world. 2 weeks ago, I played it in Hong Kong. I played three of the suites in Hong Kong and then three of the suites again in Montenegro in Eastern Europe. And 3 weeks from now, I'll play all six at a Bach festival in Bolivia and then also again in South Korea later in the year.
What a feast of music. It's all six suites.
It is physically and emotionally challenging, and it's one of the most satisfying projects I've ever done. And I may never stop doing it.
And for the people who come Friday at 6 o'clock, they get to hear you play the first suite.
Yes. Right. Yes.
That's wonderful. Susanna, tell us, there are more people involved than just the three of us, or four of us in the room here.
Yes.
Who all else is playing on the concert?
Well, Becca Zeisler will be playing harpsichord for the Quants Trio Sonata, for the concerto by Telemann, as well, hopefully, as for the encore. But for the concerto, the Texas Tech faculty have been very gracious in being willing to join us. And so we'll have Annie Chalix-Boyle on first violin, Clara Zala on second violin, and Kimberly Spar on viola. So we'll have a string quartet to act as a small orchestra along with harpsichord.
Which is not far from the size of orchestra that it would have been,
right.
300 years ago.
Exactly. Great. So a collection of friends all playing some great music. That's nice. Did you bring, Christoph Fuchuk, did you bring one recorder or did you bring a set?
That's a great question. There are so many different kinds of recorders. For this event, I'm actually only using one instrument. It's all alto recorder, pitched at 440, which is the way that all modern instruments are pitched. But recorder players very typically will have, say, an alto in three or four different keys. So essentially, it sounds a little higher or lower if you play the same note on each one. And that was the way it was. Actually, at the time this music was written, pitch itself was not necessarily coordinated. So if you were playing in Bonn, the pitch would be different than if you were playing in Vienna, and you had to adapt to that. Fortunately, we've come a little way since then, but it's a fascinating thing to think about because it's not just about what key you're in. It affects the timbre of the instrument as well. So a recorder in 415 actually sounds like a completely different instrument than one in 440, and it gives you a huge amount of variety.
So how did you decide which one you wanted to bring?
Well, typically, in order to play in keys other than 440, you have to have the capacity at the time to tune everything up or down. So if you're playing, for example, if you're playing with string instruments only, then it's just a matter of a few twists of each peg. But if you're playing with another wind instrument or playing with a harpsichord, which can be retuned, but it takes a while, usually one does it in one key throughout. And in this particular concert, we chose 440.
Right. Well, wonderful. Well, thank you all very, very much for your time today. We really appreciate it. Christopher Cook, Susanna Self, Jeffrey Lestraps, best of luck in your concert.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
More information on the concert is at music.ttu.edu. This episode of our program will be up on our website later today. Rachel Boyd is producer of The Front Row. Thanks for listening. I'm Clint Barrick.